Tonight, Lower Loxley will be transformed when we return to Ambridge at 7 o'clock. And you can find out more about PC Harrison Burns, if you wish, James Cartwright, who plays him, on the Archers website now.
Bindi's Beauty Box.
I beg your pardon?
Bindi Business, the new series written by Tanika Gupta.
That's it. Delivering beauty consultants across Slough and Windsor straight to your door. Simple.
Starring Meera Syal.
This is a serious business venture, and I'm giving you the chance to make a good living.
Bindi Business.
You have to make your own destiny.
Next Monday to Friday morning at 10:45, and then available on the BBC Radio 4 website.
Open Country will be at the Highland Games at 3 o'clock. Before that, we continue our drama series, Red and Blue. Tim Woodward stars as the war game exercise writer Bradley Shoreham. Shoreham has been brought in to challenge a flood defence team's strategy, but this time events force him to rewrite his game plan.
My name is Bradley Shoreham. 2.5 years ago, I gave up my job as a civilian war gamer to work for the richest woman in the world.
Come and work for me, Bradley. I want to save the world. I want to save the lives of starving children. I want to make the planet a better place.
Her grandson, Mark, came to work with us too. He was a radical activist and idealist.
You're a modern robber baron. You're everything that is rotten and stinking in today's society, but you're rich. And that's why I came to work for you. That's why Bradley's here.
It didn't end well. I told Mark some home truths about his grandmother and her business, and he... well, he...
He cracked under the pressure because of you. That's why he crashed his car. Not an accident. It was deliberate.
Alessandra betrayed me, and she betrayed Mark by using our analysis of potential global catastrophes to make money. She speculated heavily on derivatives and futures, drawing on our insights about which countries would suffer most from climate disasters and economic collapses. In other words, she was short-selling the apocalypse. And so I leaked her secrets to the press. I exposed her lies. But in the process, I made a lot of enemies. And eventually a decision was made by someone, I don't exactly know who, to kill me. And they very nearly succeeded.
Red and Blue, Alive by Philip Palmer, with Tim Woodward as Bradley Shoreham.
William Ted.
That's a bit formal.
The camera's rolling. William Ted, post-exercise briefing, 3rd of July. For the flood mitigation exercise for the West Tyneside area. Lessons have been learned, and now they must be incorporated into the future strategy for flood defences in this region. So, Mr. Tate.
That weren't a flood, man. That were a bloody deluge. I expected Noah to pop up with his ark and say, come on, lads, let's away out of here.
Is that a criticism?
It's more of a joke.
You think my scenario lacked credibility?
I think that's why you're paid the big bucks, man.
No, not so big. Not really.
Bradley Shoreham Limited? You must be raking it in.
To commence.
Aren't you?
To commence.
I heard a rumour, just a couple of days ago it was, you once turned down a massive job with Global Future Foundation, the charity-like. The one that, what's-her-name, Pachetti set up. The one who tried to buy out Rupert Murdoch.
Alessandra Pachetti. She didn't try to buy out Murdoch. That was media speculation.
Oh, well, how would you know that, like?
I've worked for her. With her. Against her. We meet occasionally.
Oh, I couldn't believe it when I heard that. That you're in that league, connected with someone like Pachetti.
She's nothing special.
Ah, no, neither is the Queen. She's a few bobs short of what Pachetti is worth.
Not anymore. Most of Ms. Pachetti's fortune is... well, she's not as rich as she was.
So she offered you a job, like?
She did. I turned it down.
What, to come and work for us? A two-bit private subcontractor working for the West Tyne Council?
Mr. Tate, I bid for the resilience contract. I got it. My first venture, as it happens, with my new company.
Well, no offence, Bradley, but you've made yourself unpopular up here, and that's a fact.
Did I?
With the people on the ground, I mean. With my men, my women.
I challenged them.
One poor girl was in tears.
Well, that happens from time to time. I generally pay tears no heed. Tears, Mr. Tate, don't contribute to getting the job done, in my experience.
She's only a kid, man.
And now she's not a kid. She's a woman. Coming of age, toughening up. That's what your people need to do.
The point is, it's not gonna flood. Not the way you said it last week, not tidal waves. It won't happen.
3 years ago, this area was swamped. The River Tyne burst its banks. Newcastle Quayside had to be evacuated. 300 homes were evacuated in Teesside. A year before that, the same story. Thunder Thursday, I believe they called it up here. It's a pattern of extreme weather. Now, what grounds do you have for saying that it won't be even worse next time?
Well, it wouldn't. It couldn't. That's just common sense, man.
Oh, dear. So, in your opinion, Mr. Tate, which differs from mine, you think we should anticipate dealing with storms of approximately the same level of ferocity as we experienced the last few times, In 2013-14, 2012 and 2004. In your opinion, that's about as bad as it's liable to get.
I reckon so, yes.
So I've taught you nothing, then?
Nothing I was aware of.
All my briefing notes, my detailed scenarios, my offline injects. This whole flood exercise has been a complete...
Oh, waste of time. Well, not entirely. But the fact is, Bradley, I could have run an exercise like this with me eyes shut. It's not rocket science. I'm the man on the ground.
Now we're getting
there. I mean,
there.
I like you, Bradley. We've had some laughs, we've shared some bevies. But don't think you can come up here from London and teach us how to suck eggs. We don't need that.
Have it your way.
Are you good company, mind?
Well, thank you.
I can tell a good story.
I do my best.
Oh, bloody hell, you can hold your beer.
That's one of the many skills I learned and honed in the service of Her Majesty the Queen.
But you can be a bit cocky sometimes. A bit full of yourself, no offence. Oh, now I've pissed you off, haven't I?
Let's run through the remainder of this exercise debrief, then we can tick some boxes. Then you can go home to your wife and kids.
I don't have kids.
Oh, you do? You do. Not by your wife, though.
You cheeky bastard. How did you even spying on me? That's appalling. That's unacceptable. That... Turn the camera off. How the hell did you...
I talk to people. They talk to me. That's the great thing about being able to hold your beer. After 7 or 8 pints, people tell you all their secrets and all their mates' secrets. And the next day, they have no idea what they've said. It's all just a happy blur.
You've been pumping my mates. Getting dirt on me.
I think of it as useful background information.
Okay, so I've shagged around a bit. I'm a good-looking lad. It doesn't affect my ability to do the job. It doesn't...
I didn't say it did. Put yourself together, William. The camera is back on. Day one. Talk me through it.
Well, my name is William Tate. I'm project engineer with Flood Prepared in Tyneside. That's a private company set up in the wake of the 2012 floods, tasked with flood alleviation in the West Tyne region. We've built dams and drainage tunnels. We've fitted non-return valves on pipes. We've installed anti-flood air bricks in hundreds of homes. We've spent near as damn it £260 million since we were set up. I'm recording this interview with Mr. Bradley Shoreham, the exercise writer for the flood mitigation exercise, which concluded on Tuesday of last week.
This is not a police interview, William.
I just want to put the record straight.
I'm detecting it. I have an instinct for this kind of thing, you know. A certain amount of animosity towards me.
Aye. Well, you made me look daft in front of my people, didn't you? I thought we were mates. Spent 2 weeks together doing the planning. I thought we were sorted. But when it came to it... Day one is day 5 of torrential rain in the Northumberland and County Durham areas, as well as in Scotland, Wales, Yorkshire, the Midlands and southern England. The equal of 2012-13 and 2013-14 floods. The Somerset Levels is now a sea. 7 people have been killed by the storms in Devon and Cornwall. Tewkesbury once again has become an island. Our defences, however... were well able to cope.
And nearly a dozen houses got flooded.
Houses will get flooded. It's the way of it. With rain like this, you have to expect collateral damage.
Day two.
And day two was nasty. A river burst its banks, a tributary of the Tyne that we'd previously dammed to prevent it from flooding the surrounding built-up areas. Well, something went wrong there. I attended the scene personally and took charge of the rescue operation. That was a long day, but lessons were learned. I enjoyed day two.
Day three?
On day three, you and I had a bit of a barney.
We did.
Which was swiftly resolved. At that point, I was called away on urgent other business, and I was unable to participate in the remainder of the exercise.
Liar.
What?
You're a liar. There was no other business. I phoned your personal assistant and asked her. You just got fed up, so you buggered off.
No, not so. Absolutely not. I had urgent and unexpected other business to attend to.
That's your official answer, is it?
Yes.
Right. Tell me more about day three.
On day three, we got the big storms. The monsoon, the tidal wave coming up the estuary, and then the bloody tornado. We don't get tornadoes in Tyneside.
In the American Midwest...
We don't get tornadoes in Tyneside.
Yes, but you see, the...
We don't get tornadoes in Tyneside.
Well, perhaps not, but it's allowable. Because according to the scenario I drafted, this is all happening very slightly in the future.
In the future.
And according to this extrapolation, things have got very much worse. A tipping point has been reached. The Greenland and North Antarctic ice sheets are melting at an alarming rate. Boreal forests are experiencing dieback. The oceans are becoming synchronized. Weather patterns all around the world have been thrown out of kilter. The Arctic vortex has collapsed. In such a scenario, it's possible
we don't and we won't get tornadoes in Tyneside. I've looked it up. Your scenario's absurd. If the ice caps melt, we won't be getting tornadoes. Not in Tyneside.
It doesn't matter. I wrote what I wrote. Hence, that's what happened. You should have been aware...
What? I'm not allowed to argue back?
No, you are not. Your job was to deal with the events as they unfolded, as I scripted them. And what happened is that a family of angry tornadoes hit Tyneside like the wrath of God descending. Hundreds of homes were swept away. Cows and sheep and small children flew up in the air as if they were in Kansas en route to Oz. The entire county was reduced to a state of panic. But instead of coping with this appalling crisis, instead of dealing with it, you walked out. You abandoned the exercise.
I had to leave on unexpected, urgent other business.
Leaving your number two in charge.
Aye, that's right.
That would be Tricia Nelson?
Well, in theory, she's not technically number two.
But she took charge.
Well, I suppose she did.
To what effect?
What?
Was she any good at her job?
How should I know? I wasn't there on that last day.
She was thrown in at the deep end. She's never had any crisis management training. She's only been in the job 18 months. She's 24 years old. How did she come to be your number two?
I rely on her advice a lot.
What's your relationship with Trish?
What?
Look, I'm turning the camera off again. Let's keep this informal. What's your relationship with Trish?
She's my employee.
Is that all?
She's a friend.
Is that all?
Okay, I'm shagging her, all right? Is that a crime?
Not even in the army, is that a crime?
Well, so there you go, then.
That is frowned upon. Forming a sexual liaison with a junior officer.
We're not in the bloody army, right? We work for a company that makes and fits flood drains.
No. You're project engineer for the company that is responsible for crisis flood management as part of multi-agency role in conjunction
How
with
How did you
me?
Find out I was shagging her?
Body language.
Body language?
Yes. Whenever you're within 5 feet of Trish, your body says, hey, look at me, I've had this bird. I've nailed this piece of top totty. What a player I am. Body language. I can read it easier than a Kindle.
I thought I was discreet.
I'll be writing a formal report outlining the strengths and the weaknesses in your systems, focusing on your underdeveloped managerial strategies, your poor grasp of administrative hierarchies, and your tendency to go off-piste whenever you feel like it.
Yeah. So you're shafting me, then?
I didn't say that.
And I thought we were mates.
No, you didn't, Billy boy. You bloody liar. I don't for a second think that, oh, for pity. Just because we had a few pints together, just because we told each other some funny stories, that doesn't make us mates.
It does in my book.
Look, you're a charming man, a good-looking man. And let's face it, Billy, exceptionally sexy. You've got it. You, whatever it is, you've got it.
Easy now. I don't swing that way.
If I were a homosexual, Billy, which I'm not, but if I were, I certainly would not be swinging your way.
Hey, man, you're not allowed to say homosexual. There's a black mark there, Bradley. You have to say gay or LGBT.
You're missing the point.
Well, I could report you for that. Homophobic language.
Oh, don't be such an arsehole,
Well,
Billy.
Swearing, that's not allowed either. That could be construed...
Shut up, Billy.
I'm just telling you the rules and regulations. We have to watch our language,
Steve. Box-ticking. The bane of my life. It's not the words. It's what you mean by the words. We're getting off the point, Billy. The point is, you're better than this.
Than what?
You're smart. You're resourceful. You're physically brave. I've heard no end of stories about what a hero you were in the 2012 floods. You were there in the canoe, rescuing householders day in, day out, working 18-hour shifts. Now, I can respect a man like that.
Well, you have to do it, don't you? There were old ladies trapped, families who'd lost everything.
I agree. You're a man to have by one side in a crisis. But you do yourself no favours with all the bullshit. The we're best mates, so you can't ever tell me off crap. And as for what you did on that last day, throwing a wobbly in the middle of the exercise, and that was downright stupid.
Look, Bradley...
Be quiet. Even so, despite everything I've just said, you did a good job until that last day. You're a capable leader. You're decisive. You're able to delegate, and you have a flair for reading people. You're cheerful. People like a cheerful man. It inspires them. It gives them hope. Now, that's the upside of your blasted charm. And when I write my report, it will be largely positive about your managerial skills and your potential to go further in this organisation.
Good man. I knew you'd see sense.
And I shall be doing all this not because you're charming or good-looking or because we had a couple of pints together, but because you're talented. Underneath all the jack-the-lad bravado.
But don't mention me and Trish, like... That would go down badly with the big bosses. They don't know what it's like, eh? For men like us. We can't help ourselves sometimes.
Yes. And in particular, I shall be commending Trish Nelson for handling an unexpected crisis in an exceptionally calm and capable way.
What?
She did a fabulous job on day three when you were gone. She dealt with an escalating disaster with resourcefulness and unflappability. It's true, you aren't very likely to get tornadoes in Tyneside, which is why you were so unprepared for that scenario. No crib sheet, that's the test, and you failed it. When the tornadoes hit, you panicked. I saw it in your eyes. So you faked a piece of urgent other business and sloped off, forgetting to appoint someone in charge. And that really was the acid test. Who steps up to the mark when the boss isn't there?
She was in tears, man. I heard all about it.
Family of four were killed by the tornado. I wrote briefing papers on each of them. When she read the briefing notes, Trish cried. That's how much she was into the role. I told her brusquely in my best parade ground manner to pull herself together and to do a bloody job, and she cried a bit more. Then, don't you know, she pulled herself together and she did her bloody job. I didn't hold it against her. And she didn't hold it against me.
She's got something, that girl.
She has. She knows how to keep her head in a crisis.
Feeling like a bit of a prat here.
It's called stress testing. It's what I do. I put people under pressure to see how they handle it. Sometimes they don't. They fall to pieces. They fail. But it doesn't matter. Because it's only an exercise. You learn as much from knowing that you're capable of failing as you do from finding out you're up to the job. And it toughens people, it makes them ready. Because next time, it may be the real thing.
Yeah, but... tornadoes.
We do, in fact, get tornadoes in Britain. Not often, but it's not unknown.
Yeah, but these buggers you sent us were giant twisters. Not little British tornadoes. They went all the way up to the sky.
It's not the particular nature of the jeopardy that matters. It's how you deal with it that
counts. Yeah, I get that. I'm not stupid, you know. I've mucked this entire bloody exercise up, haven't I?
Yes, you have.
I'd like another go. Make it right. Is that allowed?
Yes. Okay.
What?
I said okay. I'm planning to repeat this exercise in Scotland and in Ireland, and with a bit of luck in Bangladesh. I need good people with me to help me run my training exercises.
Bangladesh? You kidding me?
Climate change, Billy, it is happening. That's not in doubt anymore. The world's financial markets are already speculating and hedging on how and when the climate disasters will happen. They're figuring out how to make money out of it, and that's how you can be sure it's real. Big companies are investing in alt tech. Climate change adaptations are being developed. Crazy ideas like painting the Andes white, mirrors in space, fertilizing the oceans with iron, seeding clouds with silver. What's that word? Silver something. Silver iodide? Is that a word? Well, it's transforming the weather anyway, to save the world, but that's not my patch. I'm all about adaptation and survival, disaster management. My role is now to...
What?
I said my role is now to... I left my job, you see. I set up this new company. I was offered a chance to... Well, I'm now in the business. Alessandra Pacetti, she tried to headhunt me, but I turned her down the pitch.
Are you okay, man? You don't look too canny.
No,
Your face.
I decided to...
Half your face has gone slack. I know what that means.
Let's continue with the debrief.
Bugger the debrief. I'm getting you to hospital.
What? No, what? Don't be so stupid. Put that phone down, Billy.
Yeah, ambulance, please.
No, I'm going nowhere. Call them back.
Medical emergency. Council officers West Tyne. Ask for Billy Tate. Thank you.
You... What gives you the right...
Shut up, man. You're having a stroke. Now sit back down. Let me deal with this.
This can't be happening, not to me. It can't be.
Shh. It's happening, Bradley.
No, I'll drive home. I'll have a kid.
No, you won't. Walk anywhere near that door and I'll knock you down.
But I...
Deal with it, Bradley. Don't deny it. Deal with it.
Yes. Sorry. I tried to be shot. You feel so helpless.
You were actually shot, weren't you?
That's where the arm... Shot in... In... The arm.
Hello, stranger.
Ah, you.
It's not much of a welcome.
Well, you're not much of a guest. How did you find me? Stupid question. You're a media mogul. You have security firms on your corporate payroll. Where's your limo?
I came by taxi.
Alone?
Two close protection officers, rather charming. They're besotted with me, I'm sure of that. They're not far away.
I suppose I should offer you a cup of tea.
Oh, that's nice. That thing, that, bush. Fuchsia? And the ivy. I like that.
Turns a russet colour in the autumn. The colour of blood. It gives the cottage a spectacular appearance.
Impressive.
The previous owners put a lot of work into this. Classic countryside cottage garden. Wisteria, hollyhocks. Works. Marvellous, don't you think? I just inherited it.
Where did the previous owners go?
Well, they died. He died, then she died. That's the way of it. That's how these idyllic cottages come on the marketplace. People retire, spend 10 years getting the garden just so. And then when it is just so, just the way they want it, they keel over and die.
You look...
What?
Not ill.
I'm not ill. I just read.
Minor stroke. They caught it in time. Small amount of paralysis. I have a limp now and a stick. And this arm is useless. But then, this arm was always pretty useless. Got off lightly there. Lucky break.
I'm so sorry, Bradley.
Don't pity me, you old crone. I had a touch of ill health. But I'm fit as a fiddle for a man my age.
But you're retired now?
Yes. Yes, I'm retired now.
I'm so, so very sorry.
So you should be. This is what you did to me.
I do blame myself.
A shadow of my former self. A broken man. Damn those roses!
Oh, calm down.
Damn them.
You're red in the face. You're going to give yourself another...
Do you see what I did there? One blow with my stick,
stop
and the rose head goes flying.
Stop it. Stop it.
National Health, foldable walking stick. In the right hands, it's as dangerous as an infantryman's bayonet.
Are you threatening me, Bradley?
Do you feel threatened?
Yes. You're implying that you could kill me, am I right? With a single blow to the head with your walking stick?
Ah, now, that's an idea.
Do you hate me so much? Oh, Bradley, do you really hate me so much?
Less of the implausible tears, you old monster.
And less of the phony rage, you manipulative bastard.
Death touched me on the shoulder, Alessandra. That changes a man. Death touched me. The battle's not over yet.
Are you going to invite me in?
Very well.
Lovely room.
You hate it, don't you?
Yes. It makes me feel claustrophobic, those low beams.
Oh, you prefer plate glass windows?
I'd prefer a taller room, a less cluttered room, something with a bit more breathing space.
No doubt you have shoe cupboards that are larger than my entire living room.
I do.
Lord help us. Milk?
No, thank you.
Cake?
Thank you, I don't. You must wonder why I keep pestering you.
It does seem a little odd, I must concede.
That document you wrote with my grandson Mark, it haunts me.
Mark and I said nothing new. Some graphs, the threat from ISIS, the potential for another banking crisis, the weather. These are all bog-standard futurist analysis.
Yes, but you wrote it all with such vigour.
Vigour?
You're an optimist. Whenever you identify a problem, you seek for a solution.
Well, that's the soldier in me. We're very task-driven.
See, my other people, they're also cautious. They come across as swamped by events, fearful, intimidated by the sheer complexity of it all.
Well, I'm not an optimist, really. The fact that I identify solutions to all the problems of the world doesn't mean that those solutions will be implemented. That's the human factor for you.
Even global warming?
Oh,
that
no,
doesn't...
No. It's fixable. Societal changes, new forms of energy, carbon capture. That's your solution right there. But it's expensive, you see. All the things we need to do are so very expensive. You'd have to alter the way we do things, the way our entire economies work. You need a new model for capitalism, a new paradigm. But first, you have to confront the problem, not deny it.
I'm an optimist, even if you aren't. I think the world will be a better place eventually.
You're an optimist because you're rich. Very rich, indeed. So rich it's obscene. Doesn't that give you pause?
I'm a philanthropist. Most of the money I make these days I give to charity.
You're a predator with a conscience.
I'm trying to change the world.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Listen, what are you doing here, Alessandra? It's like having Warren Buffett call round for tea. It's bizarre. And well, considering what you did to me.
Ah, you're still sulking about that.
You tried to have me murdered.
I did not.
You told a bunch of rich, evil bastards that I was the one who lost them their money. And they hired assassins to run me off the road. I could have been killed, Alessandra. I was very nearly killed.
But you weren't.
No, thanks to you.
No, you used your high-speed pursuit skills to execute a brilliant getaway. And when that didn't work, you spun the car around and rammed them. Masterly.
It was, I suppose, an interesting chapter in my life. An exciting hour and a half when I thought I was going to be slain. That rush of blood to the head brings back memories of... No, I've moved on now. My fighting days are over.
Did it cause the stroke?
What?
The accident. The collision. Did it cause the stroke?
That's hard to say.
What do you think?
I had concussion. Mild, but all concussions are a form of subdural bleeding in the brain. It can't have helped. It's not like the movies where you crash a car and walk away and get the girl. Bad stuff has consequences.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, don't give me your pity.
Oh, I feel in some way responsible.
You are responsible. That's what I just told you. You're not a philanthropist. You're an evil, murdering monster.
Oh, now you're flirting with me. It's been so long. You can't retire, Bradley. That's just absurd.
More tea, dear.
Don't change the subject.
And a slice of coffee cake. Are you sure I can't tempt you? It's homemade. Which means I bought it myself at a farm shop. With actual cows in the field next to the entrance. The smell of manure so strong it overpowered the reek of the excessively pungent cheeses. You can take the boy out of the city and so on.
There's so much you could achieve that we could achieve together.
Oh, here we go again.
Why do you keep pushing me away?
Tell me about your husband. Tell me about Oscar.
I'll take some of the coffee cake. Mmm.
Is that the first cake you've eaten since...
Since Oscar died. Yes. He loved cake. How much do you know about me, Bradley?
We've been through this. Your life is public record.
I was a hot-headed idealist.
So was he.
And so was he. We met at the LSE at a student demonstration. He was bleeding. A copper had hit him in the face with a truncheon. I find that very sexy. Then we moved in together and got married and planned how we'd take over the world. He'd write the books and I'd do something very worthy and morally wonderful. It was never my intention to take over the family business. But somehow I did. Then Oscar died. Heart attack. He did drink rather too much. Maybe that had something to do with it. But at least he enjoyed his life when he had it. And so I became a single mother, and I did my best. I did love my son. I did love David, I really did. But work became, well, it was so exciting. That rush of blood to the head, is that what you said?
Mm.
Bastard capitalists feel that too. Perhaps that meant I wasn't a very good mother. But I did my best, and meanwhile I became rich, very rich. David's death, his suicide, it had nothing to do with my business. It wasn't a protest vote. He just killed himself. He was so angry sometimes, that was the truth of it, out of control. I didn't blame him, of course, he wasn't well. But sometimes...
Did he attack you ever? Hurt you?
Who, Mark?
David. You're talking about your son, David.
I know we were.
You misspoke. You said Mark, your grandson, when you meant David, your son.
No, I didn't.
What are you saying? That Mark beat you up? Your grandson, Mark, beat you up?
Yes, he did. Often. As a child, I mean. When his father died, you see, Mark came to live with me for a while. His mother couldn't cope, and Mark was devastated. And he was only a boy. He couldn't come to terms with it all. And he ran amok. He blamed me for making Daddy so sad. He used to swear at me, empty his excrete on my bed. And then he used to beat me. He'd punch me or he'd knock me off my feet and spit on me. I'm a tiny thing and he was a brawny 10-year-old. It was embarrassing, to be honest. No, humiliating. Once I fought back and he almost killed me. That's when I became reclusive. And that's why I had him sent away back to his mother. She didn't want him, but I paid her off. That's why I abandoned my grandson. That's the real truth of it. Not guilt. Not guilt about David. I felt no guilt about my son David. You have no idea what it's like when someone in a family commits suicide.
No.
And it's happened to me twice. My son, my grandson. Can you imagine how that feels?
Alessandra,
You've never felt that way?
No. I've felt down, of course, from time to time. Depressed. Blue, as we used to call it.
But never...
Not really, no.
Nor me. That's why it's so hard to understand. To forgive. Mark grew up into a fine young man. I gave him everything he wanted. I gave him you, the charity, the vision of the future.
While simultaneously scheming to make a fortune from the end of the world as we know it.
I was hedging bets. We all do it. We hedge bets.
You can't hedge love.
Can you not?
You cannot.
Perhaps that's where I went wrong. Perhaps it really was my fault. Perhaps I drove my grandson to commit suicide because of my own foolish greed. Perhaps I have committed the worst crime a woman can. But then again, perhaps not.
Why are you here?
You won't come and work for me.
We've been through this. No.
So what then? You'll tend your roses, buy your bread in the farm shop with the smell of manure in your nostrils. Is that really all that's left for you?
I'm a sick man.
You don't look sick.
I don't feel sick either, but I have to pace myself these days. A five-day week. No more than 8 hours a day. Saturday and Sunday to rest and sleep. That works for me. I can no longer sustain my previous regime. I run less, too. 5 miles a day, maximum.
Really?
What?
You really run 5 miles a day?
Yes. Well, sometimes. It's more of a walking pace at present, but I manage. I tick along nicely, thank you very much.
Tick along at what? You can't just... You need a purpose, Bradley. I know you. You need a mission. You have one, don't you?
Yes.
What?
War games, of course. Live role-playing resilience exercises to stress test the people who will most need to, one day, be able to cope. The next one is in Bangladesh. I'm negotiating a contract with the government there. I've got a young Geordie lad who'll be helping me out. I have very high hopes for him.
Why Bangladesh?
Did you not read the reports that Mark and I wrote for you? Bangladesh is vulnerable. It's one of the countries that will be flooded first when the world's climate reaches tipping point. A fifth of an entire nation will sink beneath the waves. Migrants will flee towards neighbouring India, attempting to climb over the fence that is already being built, put there specifically to keep them trapped in their watery grave, being shot at by border guards. Civil war will be an imminent risk. So I'm going out there to run a series of low-level exercises, like I did in Tyneside, dealing with people on the ground. I'll stress test them and I'll prepare them for the worst. That's my next job.
It sounds great. I'll fund you.
I don't want your money. I'm a businessman now. Pity money is of no use to me. I want serious investment from serious people.
I'll fund you anyway. I'll find a proxy and slip money into your bank account whether you want me to or not. Oh, please, will you let me finance your dream? It's something I have to do, Bradley. To make it up to you. For what they... For what...
Oh, well, okay. If you insist. Here. These are my bank details. You can gift aid it if you wish. There's a box at the bottom to tick.
You bastard.
course I want your money. This whole venture is a blueprint stage. How else do you think I'd make it work?
You knew I'd come looking for you.
Yes, I knew. I knew you'd offer me money. You're so transparent. I can wrap you round my little finger.
Oh, you're the only person in the world who mocks me like this.
Since Oscar. Oscar used to tease you like this, didn't he? He never let you get above yourself.
Yes. Oscar loved to tease. And sometimes he could be harsh. Though never cruel. Never that. But that was a long time ago.
Well, that's my point. Ever since then, you've been indulged and fawned upon by gutless men who fear you even more than they desire you. I mean, no wonder you're such a sour-faced, stick insect of a woman.
Oh, observe that rapier wit.
There is one other thing you could do for me.
What?
One of the things I do, one of the tricks I like to play, is to bring in outsiders to play roles in my large-scale war game exercises. I did it in my Greater Kurdistan exercise, and I did it with Dr. Alicia Hoffman when we role-played a pandemic in the north of England. It's a technique that works astonishingly well. It adds a critical spark of uncertainty, the grit that makes the oyster.
You want me to work for you?
I want you to play the role of a rapacious, heartless, mega-rich capitalist. No acting required.
You've got a nerve. People don't employ me. You're asking me... You seriously think that I...
It means you'll meet the real Bangladeshi people who are facing an apocalypse that they cannot escape. The Bangladeshi people who will lose their homes and their lives when we fail, when we miserably fail to achieve a zero carbon emission over the next decade. I mean, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands will die. The streets will become teeming rivers. And the doctors, the nurses, politicians, the police officers, the flood control volunteers will be expected to achieve feats of heroism on a daily basis. And that will come to pass, not today, but alarmingly soon. And your job is to help me to help them to cope.
Oh, I see. And will you pay me for this?
What? Alicia took no fee. Then I can pay you. But it won't be your usual daily rate.
My usual daily rate would fund the entire Bangladeshi health service.
But you'll do it.
Yes, I'll do it.
Why?
I said I'll do it.
Yeah, but I want to know why. Why are you really here, Sandra? Why are you agreeing to this ridiculous suggestion of mine?
You know why.
Because you need a friend.
Oh, if I needed a friend, I could do much better than you.
What then?
You annoy me, Bradley. You're patronising and scornful and rude, and you mock my accomplishments, and you dredge up all my pain and trauma, and you laugh at it all in front of me. You belittle my grief. You torment me. In short, you piss me off more than anyone or anything else in the world. I really wish you...
Alessandra,
don't interrupt. Let me... You see, you always interrupt. No one else ever interrupts me, ever. You make me so angry sometimes. You make me resentful. You make me guilty. You make me ashamed. You make me... lots of things.
I'm sorry, but I don't think I follow your logic, dear girl. Do get to the point.
I'm 73 years old, and I'm richer than any woman has ever been, by some tallies. And I'm old. I'm an old woman, and I intend to become very much older. And so... I need annoying people like you around me, setting me ridiculous, impossible, infuriating challenges, because that way I feel alive.
In Alive by Philip Palmer, Bradley Shoreham was played by Tim Woodward, Alessandra Pacetti by Sarah Kesselman, and Billy Tate by Neil Granger. The director was Gemma Jenkins.
After the news here on Radio 4, hammers will be thrown and cabers will be tossed when Open Country takes us to the Highland Games.
BBC News at 3 o'clock. The government has described the latest record net migration figures as deeply disappointing. The total rose by 94,000 in the year to March to an unprecedented 330,000. The authorities in Austria say they've found the bodies of up to 50 dead migrants in an abandoned lorry near the Hungarian border. Austria's interior minister called it a shocking tragedy. The leaders of Germany, Austria and 6 states in the Western Balkans are meeting in Vienna to discuss the migrant crisis. The German Chancellor Angela Merkel said the issue could be solved only if member states shared responsibility for those seeking shelter. A former teacher has been jailed for 3 years and 9 months after admitting making indecent films of scores of his pupils using hidden cameras. Jonathan Thompson Glover, who's 53, pleaded guilty to making the films at Clifton College in Bristol and at an address in Cornwall. 45 new peers have been appointed to the House of Lords. They include former MPs, special advisers and election strategists. There are 26 Conservative nominations, 11 Lib Dems and 8 figures from Labour. The Chief Constable of Police Scotland, Sir Stephen House, has announced that he will stand down in 3 months' time. He's been under pressure after officers took 3 days to respond to a fatal car accident on the M9 near Stirling. Athletics and the Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt has won the 200 metres final at the World Athletics Championships in Beijing. He beat his American rival, Justin Gatlin, to win in 19.56 seconds. It's his 10th World Championship gold and 4th straight 200 metres title. Afterwards, he expressed his delight.
There was never a doubt that I was gonna win this one for me. I proved it's just that Justin Gatlin would say, oh, he's going to be ready. So that's why I really celebrated as much as I did. I was like, number one.
But there was disappointment for Britain's Christine Ohorougou, who failed to retain her title in the women's 400 metres final. BBC News.
I think Bridge Over Troubled Water was a very good song.
Sail on, silver girl. A chance to hear the very first series of Soul Music from 2000.
I feel it's so comforting, just as if you're being wrapped up and just cared for by the song.
Exploring pieces of music with a powerful impact, beginning with Elgar's cello concerto.
Elgar turned to Beatrice just before she was going on stage and said, Beatrice, forget about the notes, just give them the soul of the music, that's all that's important.
Soul Music, starting tomorrow evening at 6:30, over on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Here on Radio 4 now, Open Country. This week, Helen Mark is in Glenfinnan for the annual Highland Gathering.
You really just have to take a few moments to stand here and take in the landscape because of the scale of it. So, first of all, I've got the gently lapping waters of Loch Shiel against the grassland here across those irises just at the water's edge. Beyond that, a view up the loch with the mountains on either